Wonderful. Thank you, ladies, for that song. I'm going to get right into the message tonight. Pastor mentioned that hour of sleep. I saw something, and I told Brother Brian before the service, I don't understand. I seen a guy put on social media this week. Why did they choose the middle of the night on a weekend to turn the clocks up? For real. It had to be like our government that made that decision. I mean, why wouldn't you do it at like Friday at 4 o'clock? Right when you're getting off work on Friday, you know, move the clock up or back. Why in the middle of the night on a weekend? It doesn't make any sense. The devil had to have something to do with this Saturday night too, trying to keep people out of church on Sunday. But anyway, yep, I'm lacking from sleep as well. So let's go ahead and get into the message tonight. We're in Matthew chapter number 18, and I'm going to continue some lessons from the life of Peter tonight. I was thinking, I honestly do some things. I get myself into binds sometimes. I try to alliterate things, and I alliterated this series of sermons. Brother Dan's looking like, you try to alliterate things? I tried to alliterate this set of sermons, and I'll be honest with you, when I started the study of Peter, I thought I had about five or six sermons, and I kind of had the alliteration in my mind, and as I began to study, I had no idea that we would still be Matthew chapter 18 about 8 weeks into this study. And so I'm working hard to keep my alliteration going. And so tonight's message is a message on forgiveness. But for sake of alliteration, those men in the sound booth have been putting it on the website. This is going to be Peter and clemency. Amen. If you don't know what clemency is, go up and look it up when you get home tonight. But that word means forgiveness, right? And so just for sake of alliteration, that's what this is tonight. We're talking about Peter and a lesson on clemency, but really it's about forgiveness. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight is forgiveness. You know, I tell you, as I've been studying this, I was talking with Pastor a little bit yesterday. And I'll be honest, I really thought that last Sunday night's message I'd be preaching this Sunday night before missions conference. And I had what I thought I was going to go into after missions conference about Peter's collapse. And Lord willing, after missions emphasis, missions revival, that's what we'll begin to look at is how that Peter collapsed. And I believe that's a process in Peter's life that if we're not careful, happen in our life. But I really thought that's what I was going to get into. But this week as I began to study, I didn't want to start that before missions emphasis, and I began to read Matthew chapter number 18, and I came across this verse of scripture, verse number 21, and I began to dig into it, and I've really spent a lot of time this week looking into this account in the scriptures. Pastor said it's a very familiar account, but the more I dug, the more I found. God's word is deep, and the more I study it, the more I try to preach it, and I try to learn it, the more I realize how little I know of it. But I want to try to help you tonight about this topic of forgiveness. No doubt, Peter, I think it's interesting that it's Peter that asked this question in verse number 21. The Bible says, then came Peter. I think it's interesting that Peter is the one that inquired, and that's my first point tonight, is Peter's inquiry. Peter inquired of the Lord about forgiveness. I find it interesting that it was Peter that inquired of the Lord. Not too long after this event, we're going to see that Peter himself was in need of forgiveness. And so Peter comes to Jesus and he inquires of him and he asks him a question. In verse number 21, it says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? That's a good question. Maybe it's a question you've asked before. I know it's a question that I've asked before. I would imagine there's probably some mothers here, or I'd even say parents here, that have asked that question. Lord, how often shall I forgive them? These children of mine, right? How many times should I forgive them? Maybe there's a wife here that would ask that question about her husband. How many times, Lord, shall I forgive him? Maybe there's a husband here that may ask that question about his wife. Lord, how many times shall I forgive her? But in this story here, I believe in the context of the scripture that Peter is talking about his brother. He says it in verse number 21. He says, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? If you read the context of chapter 18, Jesus has been talking about a brother offending one. We see the motive of Peter's question in verse number 15. He said, moreover, Jesus is teaching. He says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And Jesus goes down and tells his disciples how to handle a trespass amongst themselves in the church. And he's talking about the church. If you read the context of the scripture, no doubt that's what Jesus is talking about. And so I believe that Peter, the motive behind this question is what Jesus was teaching. So Peter comes to Jesus after Jesus has taught about a brother trespassing and sinning against him. And Peter asks this question, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother if he sins against me? And then, so we see the motive of his question, but then I also see the mistake in his question. I make this mistake sometimes. Look at what Peter says. He says, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And then he makes this mistake. Till seven times? You ever ask a question and then answer it? I have that problem. I can't tell you how many times, if my wife was in here tonight, she'd probably be nodding her head. It happened to us this morning. I asked a question, and before I got my question out, I gave an answer to my own question, and it was wrong. So I was like Peter, right? I can relate to Peter. Peter asked a question to the Lord. His motive was what Jesus was teaching on, but his mistake was he asked a question, and then he offered an answer, and it was wrong. Look at verse number 22. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times. He said, Peter, you're wrong. Now, Peter thought he was answering this question good. If you study this, I really believe that Peter was thinking that the Pharisees and the law there, they would teach that you would forgive a brother three, maybe four times. They got this teaching from Amos and from different places in the Old Testament. And so I believe Peter was kind of going above and beyond. Peter was saying, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother if he sins against me? Seven times? Jesus said, no, Peter, you're wrong. He said, I say unto thee, not seven times, but seven times 70. Look at it in verse number 22. Jesus said unto them, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven, 490 times. Now, obviously, I don't believe Jesus is teaching Peter to keep count, right? Somebody's going to go home, and next time their kids make a do something, yeah, they're going to mark it down, right? Start putting lines down and marking through them in numbers of five, trying to keep up. 400, I'll tell you, 490, they're done. At 490, she's done. At 490, he's out of here, right? 490 times. No, Jesus is not telling Peter 490 times. He's just telling Peter, you just keep on forgiving. You just keep on forgiving. And so we see Peter's inquiry here. But then I want us to look at this, the powerful illustration. Look at the powerful illustration that our Lord gives. I love how Jesus uses this illustration or this story to teach a lesson. In verse number 22, verse number 23, it says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto. You see, he said it's likened unto. He said, Peter, I want to give you an illustration about what I'm saying. Peter, I want to teach my lesson, but I want to use a story in order to do it. He said, Peter, let me give you an illustration. And so the Bible says in verse number 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, I read many different things about 10,000 talents, but no matter what, I'll say this, it was a huge debt this man owed. I mean, an enormous amount of money. Many men say that in our day, and some of the men that I read after, when they said in our day, they were probably writing in the 80s or 90s, said it could have been up to $10 or $12 million. And so in our day, $10 to $12 million in the 80s or 90s would probably be something like $100 million today. You say, really? Well, yeah, when they're printing trees, you know, every couple months, I'd say that's probably what it's worth today. But I don't believe they seen what Jesus was teaching. I read where one man said that 10,000 talents, I don't know if it's so or not, he said that was the highest amount of money that they would use. So it was like us saying the highest amount of money that we even know of. I don't even know. I mean, trillion, I don't even know what comes after trillion. Does anybody know? Quadrillion? Curtis is loaded, man. But a quadrillion, right? A gazillion, is that even a number, right? I think Jesus is saying this man had a debt that was a gazillion dollars, right? He had a debt that was huge, right? And so we see the hugeness of this servant's debt. It was a huge amount of money. And look at verse number 25. It says, for as much as he had not to pay his Lord, as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. Verse number 26 says, the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now that was another foolish statement there. This man couldn't pay that back. I mean, he should have just begged for mercy. But he tried to say, Lord, have patience with me. I'll pay you all. I will pay you back. No, you're not. So we see the hugeness of his debt. But look at verse number 27. And the Bible says, then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. So this man had a debt that he could not pay. Does that sound familiar? Now, I don't believe that this parable that Jesus has given or this powerful illustration that Jesus has given is talking about salvation, but I definitely believe that it applies. We'll see in a little bit. I don't believe Jesus is teaching a salvation message here. No, Jesus has given an illustration about forgiveness here, but no doubt it applies to the fact that we have a debt. We had a debt that we could not pay, a debt that was bigger than we could ever pay, and it would do us no good to say, give me a little time and I will pay that debt. No, we don't have what it takes to pay that debt, because the Bible says that all of our righteousness is filthy rags, right? We don't have what it takes to pay the debt. We've all come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. At our best, we're just sinners, and we don't have what it takes to pay the debt. But yet this man, he was forgiven this great debt. It says that his king was moved with compassion. And I like what it says here in verse number 27. It says, and loosed him. I looked that word loosed up. There's something there, Pastor. I'd like to ask you at a later point about that. I know pastors studied this passage in depth. There's something special about that word loosed there. As far as I can tell, it's only used twice in the New Testament. The word loosed is used many times, but in the Greek, that word is only used twice. But that word loosed, it means to let him go. I mean, it means that he was set free, right? This debt was taken away. It was wiped away. It was vanished. And so we see the hugeness of this debt, but we see how that he had compassion and he was forgiven this debt. His master forgave him. And then I want us to see this. Not only do we see the hugeness of the servant's debt, but look at the hypocrisy that the servant displayed. Look at verse number 27. The Bible says this. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Verse 28 says this, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Now, this is a small amount of money in comparison to the debt that this man owed. The Bible says that he went out and he found a servant which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, look at this in verse number 29, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Does that sound familiar? Look at verse 26, the end of the verse. Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. The man used the exact same words that he used. So he was forgiven this huge debt that he could not pay, a debt that he would never be able to pay back. It was forgiven him. He was loosed of it. The Lord of this man had compassion on him. He loosed him. He forgave him of this debt. And he goes out, he finds another servant that has a debt that's much smaller than the debt that he had, and he takes him by the throat, and this man falls down, and he begs of him the same exact thing that he begged of his master, but he gets a different response. Look at verse 30. He said, the Bible says, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. You're talking about a hypocrite. You're talking about hypocrisy. A man forgiven a debt as great as that man was forgiven, and then somebody owe him a debt as small as the debt that was owed to him, and the man asked him the same exact thing that he asked his master, but yet he wouldn't have compassion. He wouldn't have pity. He wouldn't loose that man. He wouldn't forgive that man. He took that man and put him in prison. This man was forgiven a lot, but he wouldn't forgive a little. What a hypocrite. God help me not to be that kind of hypocrite. You're talking about a hypocrite. You know, if we're not careful, we can be that hypocritical. We've been forgiven a great debt. I mean, I could get up here now, boy, and I could really preach on that debt that we've been forgiven and talk about all of our sin and how that Jesus took our sin and how that he paid for our sin and that our sins are as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered no more, how that we've been washed in the blood of the Lord and the blood of the Lamb and how that our sins have been forgiven and they're in the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness. And man, I'm telling you right now, we'll get up and we'll shout amen and I'll do it with you. I might lead you. I'll say amen, hallelujah, praise God. I mean, get excited. But then somebody does something small to us and we won't forgive them. Hypocrisy. What hypocrisy? That's what this man does. We see the hypocrisy of this servant. You know, I don't personally believe, as I said in the context of the scripture, that Jesus is teaching about salvation, but I do believe that the truth applies here about salvation. And so we've been forgiven a great debt. And so how could we not forgive others that have been indebted to us? And so we see the illustration, the powerful illustration. Number three, I want us to see this, and I'll be honest with you, brethren. If there's one reason I preach this message tonight, it may be this point right here. God woke me up in the middle of the night with this point right here, Pastor. I want us to see, not only do we see Peter's inquiry and do we see the powerful illustration that Jesus gave, but I want to see, number three, the people involved. The people involved. Look at verse number 23. The Bible says, therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. So there's one person. Which would take account of his servants. There's some more people. And when he had begun to reckon one servant, I'm going to apply servant there. It's not the scripture, but it's talking about one servant, one in particular servant. One was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. And look at this, his wife. And children, I don't know how many he had. I know it was more than one. Or the scripture would have said his child. But he had children. It says his children and all that he had and payment to be made. And then it says the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him. We read all that. And then it says in verse number 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants. So here's another person involved. Right? So we've got the king. We've got his servants. We've got that one servant that owed the 10,000 talents, the debt that he owed. Then we have his wife. We have his children. Then we have the fellow servant that owed him the 100 pence. And then look at verse number 30. Verse number 31, it says, so when his fellow servants, here's some different servants. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. You know, I was thinking how that our forgiveness or our lack thereof affects other people. The Bible says no man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. Can I tell you, when we are not willing to forgive, it affects other people. Verse number 31, look at it. It says, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. It doesn't say that they were sorry. It says they were very sorry. You see, this man's unforgiveness affected these other men. And can I tell you, when we are not willing to forgive, it has an effect on others. D.L. Moody said this, there's one sin, one failure, that's doing more to hold back the power of God and revival in the hearts of Christians more than any other sin. And he answered that with unforgiveness. D.L. Moody, great man of God, not scripture. I'm not giving you Bible there. I'm just giving you what a great man of God said. He said, there's one sin. There's one failure that's doing more to hold back the power of God and revival in the heart of Christians more than any other, and it's unforgiveness. I wonder tonight if there's somebody here that has unforgiveness in their heart. I wonder tonight if there's somebody in this church that is hindering revival because they're not willing to forgive. I wonder if there's somebody that is hindering the working and the power of God in their home because they have an unforgiving spirit. You see, our unforgiveness, our willingness to not forgive affects the people that are around us. It said his fellow servants were very sorrowful because this man was not willing to forgive. You see, our unforgiveness affects other people. I wonder if our unforgiveness is hindering the work of God in our church or the work of God in our family or possibly the work of God in our country. People that are harboring unforgiveness in their heart and God is removing his hand off of a life, off of a church, off of a man, off of a woman, off of a ministry because people are not willing to forgive. This is a serious thing. I got into this mess. I started digging it. You said I talked to Pastor yesterday at the Pine Car Derby, and I told Pastor, I got to digging into this thing about forgiveness, and I realized this is a big thing. This thing of forgiveness is big. I think about Ephesians chapter number 4. I believe I wrote down the text. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible says this, and grieve not. Are you listening? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. What's the rest of that verse say? Whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and anger and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, when we're not willing to forgive, the Bible says that it grieves the Spirit of God. And I just wonder tonight, is there a possibility that there's somebody in this place tonight that's harboring unforgiveness in their heart and it's grieving the Spirit of God? I don't want God's Spirit to be grieved in my life. And I don't believe that you do either. I don't want the Spirit of God to be grieved in this place, and I don't believe that you do either. And if we are not going to grieve the Spirit of God, then we've got to get serious about this thing of forgiveness, because of our unforgiveness, it affects other people. It's like a cancer. That bitterness, it roots up, and it gets a root, and it springs up. The Bible talks about the root of bitterness springing up. And you see, when you're not willing to forgive, and when I'm not willing to forgive, there's bitterness that gets down deep in our hearts, and it'll begin to spring up, and it'll begin to affect everyone and everything that it touches. I believe we all have experienced it. We've all been around people that are bitter and they're angry and they're not willing to forgive, and it is eating their life and those that they love. Their unforgiveness. You see, these people were very sorrowful, so we see the people that were involved. You see, it grieves the Spirit of God when we won't forgive. I won't have you turn there for sake of time, but in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, the Apostle Paul is writing to that church at Corinth, and he's talking about forgiveness. You go home and read it sometime. He's talking about forgiving a brother that had wronged them and a brother that had repented. And Paul is talking about forgiving. And in verse number 10, he's talking about forgiving, and he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. And he says this, for we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. Did you know he's talking about unforgiveness in that passage of scripture? Go home and read it. Paul is talking about forgiving. He says, if you forgive, I'll forgive. He said, I'll forgive the man. You forgive the man. Let's all forgive the man, lest Satan should get an advantage on us. I wonder how many people Satan's got an advantage on because they're not willing to forgive. I wonder how many, you know why the divorce rate is so high in our country? There's many reasons, but one at the top of the list is unforgiveness. Churches that are destroyed, why? Because people are not willing to forgive. And I'm not talking about covering sin here. I don't want to get that mixed up. I wish I had more time to establish what I'm saying. I'm not talking about compromise. I'm not talking about covering sin. But I'm talking about compassion and forgiveness. The Bible teaches it over and over. Jesus taught it in Matthew chapter number 6. You can read about it in the Lord's Prayer. He said, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then he goes on after the Lord's Prayer there in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, if you don't forgive, then your God in heaven is not going to forgive you. I'm paraphrasing here. He says, but if you're not willing to forgive your brother, then God's not going to forgive you. You say, that's some strong preaching. That's some strong teaching. Well, Jesus taught it. Jesus said, you want to be forgiven, you better forgive. It'll hinder your prayer life. It'll grieve the Spirit of God in your life. It'll grieve the Spirit of God in my life. Before I stepped in this pulpit tonight, I'm just being honest with you. I told the Lord, I said, God, if there's any bitterness in my heart, if there's any unforgiveness in my heart towards anyone, God, that's wronged me, God, help me, Lord, to get that thing right, because I don't want you to be grieved in my life. And so we see the people that are involved. I want to see also this, the price invested. You know, it's not easy to forgive. You say, yeah, I know that, Brother David. That's why nobody wants to do it. It's not easy to forgive. One man said this. I loved it so much I had to write it down. Look at verse number 32. The Bible says this. It said, well, verse 31, so when his fellow servants saw that what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Verse 32 says this. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, look at this, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. He said, I forgave thee all that debt. Do you know there's a price in forgiveness? This is what one man said. He said he didn't overlook it. He absorbed it. Did you catch that? If you don't catch anything else I said tonight, I didn't say that. I repeated it. I'm quoting it. But one man said he didn't overlook that debt. He absorbed it. What was it again that he owed? Let's look at it again. In verse number 24, it says, which owed him 10,000 talents. He didn't overlook that debt. He absorbed that debt. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? He didn't get his money. When he forgave that servant, he absorbed that debt. He took the loss. It costed him something. Can I tell you, our forgiveness cost it something? Our forgiveness wasn't free. We talk about how that salvation is free, and thank God it is free. But can I tell you, it cost a great price. Jesus paid a price that we couldn't pay. He did something that we couldn't do, and it cost him greatly for our sins to be forgiven. And can I tell you, if we're going to forgive the sins of others, there is going to be a cost. We're going to have to be willing to absorb that loss. That person that did us wrong, that person that has hurt us, that person that has trespassed against us, if we are going to truly forgive them, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that, oh, you just forgive them and it's over. No, I'm saying you might have to absorb a cost. You may have to take what they've done to you and absorb it, but you can still forgive it. You see, there's a cost invested. He said, I forgave you all that debt. I took a loss. I was willing to pay the price for you to be forgiven. Amen. But this man wasn't willing to pay a small price to be forgiven. I wonder what kind of price we're willing to pay to forgive somebody else. I wonder if we're willing to pay the price of forgiveness. It's going to cost us something. So I see the price that was invested. I don't believe for one minute the Lord is teaching Peter that forgiveness is easy, but I do believe he's teaching him it's right. Amen. He's saying, Peter, forgiveness is right. And so I see the price invested. Then I want to look at this. I'm almost done. The punishment imparted. Look at verse number 34. Well, verse 33. Then to 32, he said, I forgave thee all the debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Verse 34 says, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due to him. I was studying this, and I couldn't believe how many people, well, obviously I should have known. There's a lot of people that don't believe in eternal security. I don't know how they get it from this Bible. But they use verses like this. And they talk about the man being delivered to the tormentors. And they say that because he wasn't willing to forgive, he lost his salvation and he was delivered to the tormentors. And then there's those that say, well, the man was never saved, right? He didn't repent. He asked the king if he could pay him back and have patience on him, but he never really repented and he didn't get saved. As I've already said, I don't believe Jesus is even teaching salvation here. He's teaching Peter about forgiveness here. And I don't believe that the tormentor is an eternity in hell. No, I believe the tormentors is what's going to happen to somebody that's not willing to forgive. They're not willing to forgive and they're in torment. They're being tormented by their own unforgiveness. There are so many Christians that are walking around with no joy, with no happiness in their heart. They've lost their love for God. They've lost their love for people. They've lost their love for the ministry. They've lost their love for so many things. And the reason is because they're harboring bitterness and they're being tormented day and night because of their unforgiveness. I believe if you study this passage, there's no other conclusion that you can come to other than Jesus said, if you won't forgive, you will be delivered to the torment. You will not be able to move on until you get that forgiveness thing right. It's sin, brethren. Amen. Unforgiveness is sin. And if we can't have the joy of the Lord in our hearts, we can't get our prayers answered, we can't have the power of God, we can't have those things when we've got sin in our heart. And Jesus is teaching Peter, if you don't get that thing right, if this man doesn't get it right, if he doesn't take care of that debt that he owes, and I believe that debt he owes is forgiveness. I believe that's what he's teaching here. Look at verse number 34. He said his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. You say, who's him? I don't know if it's that certain king or that man that he needs to forgive. I don't know. But I know this. I know Jesus said you're going to be tormented. I know Jesus said somebody that won't forgive is going to live in torment. In prison. Can I tell you, I know I'm just preaching to the choir here tonight, but how crazy it is for somebody to wrong us, somebody to hurt us, somebody to do something against us, and then we stay in prison while they're free. You know how many Christians are living in prison tonight, and the one that crossed them, the one that hurt them, the one that sinned against them is walking free. But because they're not willing to forgive, because they're harboring this unforgiveness in their heart, they are in torment day and night. It's always before them. I think about David in Psalm 51. He said, my sin is ever before me. That unforgiveness is eating them up. I don't know if there's anybody in this building tonight this way, but I'm confident in my heart that God wanted me to preach this message. I didn't plan on preaching this message in my series on Peter, but I'm confident that God led me to this passage of Scripture, and God said, preach on forgiveness, because there could be somebody in here tonight that if they would just get this thing of forgiveness right, it might open up the power of God on their life. It might open up the power of God on their home. It might open up the power of God on this place. If somebody here tonight would just truly repent and forgive and move on, loose them and let them go. That's what Jesus said. He said he loosed him and he forgave him. Loose it and let it go. See, it's got you bound tonight. There may be more than one person. There may be many people here tonight that are bound by this sin of unforgiveness. And I'm just here tonight as a messenger trying to tell you, hey, forgive them. Forgive them. You say they haven't even told me sorry. Well, then in your heart, already forgive them. So that when they do, that's an attitude of forgiveness. When they do, you can carry out the action of forgiveness. Get set free tonight. Get set free from that bondage, from that torment, from those chains of unforgiveness that are holding you. God help us. This thing of forgiveness is serious. So we see the punishment that was imparted. And then last, the purpose that was intended. I believe this is the point of the whole message Jesus is preaching, the whole illustration Jesus has given. Look at verse number 35. Jesus said, so likewise, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. The parable's over. The illustration has ended, okay? Up until this point, Jesus has been telling a story. He said a certain king, right? He's given an illustration. He's trying to use a story to prove a point, to preach a message. But now the story is over and Jesus is speaking. In verse 35, he says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if from your hearts, forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. If ye from your hearts, that's the purpose intended. Jesus is after the heart. You see, Jesus sees past our lips. He sees past our actions. He sees all the way down into our hearts. We can say we forgive somebody. We can say that we've moved on. We can say that we're not in bondage, but Jesus says, no, I see into your heart. And he said, Peter, if ye from your hearts, I just think it's interesting, Pastor, he really emphasized from your heart. That's where forgiveness comes from. It comes from the heart. And Jesus said, if you from your hearts will not forgive, my Heavenly Father's not going to forgive you. That's a serious thing. I'll be honest with you, I don't understand everything there is about forgiveness. I'm just being as honest with you as I can be. But I know this. Jesus is teaching that forgiveness is very important, and it has to be from the heart. It's a heart issue. This thing of forgiveness is a heart issue. It's a big deal. Go to Matthew 6. We're here. I won't turn to any other scriptures. I want you to see this. I mentioned it earlier, and I didn't quote it right. You say, Brother David, that's the Sermon on the Mount. I understand that. That's Jesus speaking, though. Verse number 12, Jesus said this, teaching his disciples to pray. He said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Look at verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's Bible, brother. So what are you saying, Brother David? I'm saying that as far as I can tell, and if I'm wrong, Pastor, please correct me. I mean that. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart tonight, and you're not willing to repent, there is something between you and the Lord. Thank God you can get it settled tonight, because the Bible says if we confess our sins, amen. He is faithful and just. That means he's able, right? He's faithful and he's able. He's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can get that thing under the blood. We can get it right and we can move on for the glory of God. But if we're not willing to, Jesus says you need to get that thing right. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart, then you've got to get it right. You say, why, Brother David? Because it's got you in chains. It's got you in bondage. It's got you in torment. And God wants to set you free. I wonder tonight, is there somebody, or maybe numerous somebodies, that has unforgiveness, a spirit of unforgiveness in their heart? And tonight, God wants to set you free. No telling what God could do if we just get serious about this thing of sin. God help us. We've been forgiven, brethren. Why in the world wouldn't we forgive somebody else? I'll tell you this and I'm done. I know I said that, but I really am. It's 7 o'clock. It ain't even 7 o'clock. Matthew, the book of Matthew, and I'm not going to get off and chase a rabbit trail here, but the book of Matthew is predominantly written to the Jews. Now, it's written to all of us, but it has a Jewish connotation to it. The King of the Jews, you can study it. Jesus is dealing with the Jews in the book of Matthew. You know the Jews were a very religious people? You know that, right? They were a very religious people. They knew the law, the Old Testament law, and Jesus is teaching them. Jesus came and told them in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, I came to fulfill the law, right? He said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. He was dealing with these religious people, and Jesus keeps telling them about forgiveness. I wonder if today in 2022, Jesus is dealing with religious people, and he's trying to tell them, you need to learn to forgive. You know, some religious people sometimes have the hardest time forgiving. It's like a story, I think it's in Luke, where that woman came in and Jesus was in Simon's house and Jesus was talking about forgiveness. And he said, who loves the most, right? I'm paraphrasing. I didn't read it this afternoon. But he said, who loves the most? And he said, well, I guess the one that's been forgiven the most. Right? That's what he said? He said, the one that loves the most, the one that's been forgiven the most. You know why some religious people are not willing to forgive? Because they ain't never seen themselves in need of forgiveness. They're so high on their horse, and they're so pharisaical, and they're so religious, and they're so stuck on their self. They don't think that they've ever done anything wrong. And so when somebody wrongs them, they have a hard time forgiving that person because they don't see their self as a sinner in need of forgiveness. But I'm going to tell you, when you realize what you are, when you realize how sinful you are, when you realize how much you've broken the law of God in the things that you've done, and then somebody wrongs you, and you realize you've been forgiven, it makes it a whole lot easier to forgive them. And I'm telling you tonight, the reason some people won't forgive is because they are too religious. They've never seen their self in need of forgiveness. They're on their righteous high horse, and they think that everybody else is a low-down, good-for-nothing sinner. They're like Simon was in that story. You see, Simon, he didn't think he needed forgiveness, but this old woman here, she needed forgiveness. He said, Simon, who you think loves me more? That woman there is not, I hope I'm preaching it right. I think I am. I hadn't read it, I mean, in months. But he said, that woman, she ceased not to kiss and rub my feet or with her hair or whatever. He said, she's been at my feet since I walked in the house, Simon. Why? Because she realizes that she's a sinner. She knows what it is to be forgiven. He said, Simon, you don't know nothing about it because you're so self-righteous. You have never been forgiven, and that's why you don't love me. And I'm telling you tonight, brethren, there's some people that are ate up with that self-righteousness, and they need to see their self as a sinner and get their sins forgiven. And once they get their sins forgiven, then they'll be able to forgive others. That's what Jesus is teaching. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for your goodness. God, I've tried to preach what you laid on my heart tonight. God, I pray that it's come across the right way. I just don't want people living in the bondage and the torments of unforgiveness. God, set somebody free tonight. God, those chains of unforgiveness could be holding back revival in some person's life. God, I pray tonight, Lord, please, as only you can do, Lord, set them free. Loose them and set them free tonight. God, help us, Lord, to be willing to forgive as we've been forgiven. God, we love you. We thank you for loving us. I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to turn the invitation over to the pastor.